Father, we thank you so much today for your faithfulness and trusting. May seem so easy at the outset, and yet how many times do we struggle with the issue of fully trusting you all the time in every situation? So, Lord, we know that as you desire that we grow in other areas, this is an area where you want us to grow, because the more we trust you, the more you'll be able to work through us, the more you'll be able to accomplish your ends. And of course, the bonus for us will be that the more peace and calm we will experience in our lives. So today, Lord, help us to know your word. Help us to learn your word. Help us to do your word. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. You may be seated. I might start with a question, and that is, how many here can say this morning, I fully trust the Lord all the time as much as I should in every situation? Do I see any hand? I see one, and I congratulate you. But most of us, at least at some point, you know, we struggle a little bit. And we can't really say, I fully trust him all the time, just as much as I ought to. So this is an area the Lord wants us to grow in. Now, over on the note side, I've put a scripture at the top there, which we all probably know pretty well. I've heard a number of people over the years tell me this is their life verse. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. And so the points today, really, to a great degree, the principles are really sort of based on that passage. And you know, Proverbs was written primarily to young men starting out in life, and it was basically, the whole book of Proverbs was basically teaching young men how to be successful in life. And so this particular directive comes pretty early. And it's not what you're going to hear, you know, in the stuff that you take at college or Dale Carnegie or any of that stuff. It is a little bit different. But it is God's recipe for success. And this stuff never goes out of date. He says, if you want to be successful, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. So as we come to know the Lord as Savior, that's when our real relationship of trust begins with him. And from there, it should only get better as time goes along. And the Lord gives us ample opportunity, does he not, to grow in trust. And to find out where our trust level is. I've probably said this before, but if somebody put a trust meter on you, some of you electricians, you have these little meters. I have one, and you put it on there, and that little needle moves, you know. But if the trust needle was put on you this morning, where would that needle land, you know? And the Lord gives us opportunity. And these things actually are, these things that he allows to come into our lives, those are the trust meters to a very great degree. The only thing is, in the process, hopefully, we learn some stuff as well. And, of course, that's what it's all about. So let's just move through this quickly. I know everybody wants to get out there so you can have a good dinner today. And you're entitled to that. General observations. Number one, this is for those who do the notes. So if you're one of those, now would be the time to get it. Trust is a cradle to grave issue. Trust is a cradle to grave issue. If we only knew it, the Lord has us covered from the time we breathe our first breath until we breathe that last breath. The Lord already has us covered. It is the trust that allows him to administer into our lives on a daily basis what we need by way of provision, by way of direction, by way of deliverance. And yes, it does not cancel out the necessity for prayer. It does not cancel out the necessity for waiting on him. It does not cancel out the necessity of, you know, really going to him. But he has us covered already. And the more we can understand that, then the less of a struggle we're going to have when the particulars start coming along in order to function and in order to do what we're supposed to do. It is, he has got us covered. Listen to this verse we read a while ago. You brought me out of the womb. You made me trust in you, even from my mother's breast. Some people got upset the other day because there's an Oreo cookie commercial showing an Oreo with a baby breastfeeding. From the time he says, I was on my mother's breast, you caused me to trust in you. From birth, I was cast upon you. And so the Lord is there. He's got us covered. It's just that as we come into relationship with him, then we begin to learn more and more that it is so. It's like a lot of other things. You know, there's no new knowledge out there. The knowledge has always been out there. Every time there's a new discovery, it's not new knowledge. It's just that somebody, it's only new because somebody now just discovered it. But there isn't anything new out there. Radio waves or anything else, they were there all the time, but somebody finally discovered it. So we become aware of it, we become conscious of it, we begin to understand it better, but the Lord has me covered. From the day I'm born, he knows my name. From the day I'm born, he knows everything about me. He knows everything genetically about me. He knows everything about me. Jesus said, even the numbers of the hairs on your head are numbered. I don't know what he does with you who don't have any hair. But I guarantee you, he's keeping track of you. But he knows. And just like breathing is a cradle to grave issue, it starts when you're born and it goes all the way through the issue of trust. It begins then, it ends then, but it's going on all between. Are there any days that you don't take a breath? And so trust is a cradle to grave issue. But God's got us covered. Believe me, he has got us covered. Suppose you're born into a family. You've got parents that care about you. They can provide for you every single thing you need. But do you, and they're willing to give you everything you need, but do you always trust your parents? Do you always want to trust their better judgment? Do you want your own independence? And do you want to go your own way? So you see, there are reasons why, even though the Lord has us covered, when we don't trust, we are unable to avail ourselves of the things he has for us and of the things that he would do. But we try very, very hard to have it both ways. But let me tell you a little truth. You will never have it both ways. If you want all God has for you, you're going to have to learn to trust him and trust him fully. Number two, God does not shield us from conflict or difficulty. Ooh. Is that bad news? Anyway, it's the truth. Many are the afflictions of a righteous man, it says in the Psalms, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. God does not shield us from conflict or difficulty. Instead, he chooses to place us in circumstances where our trust in him can grow. It says in Peter that our faith, which is a synonym of trust, that our faith in God's sight is more precious than gold, but he allows it to be tried by fire, because as it is tried by fire, it becomes purer, because as we spoke about one time, when you melt the gold and you bring it to that intense heat, the only thing that gets burned up is the chaff, but the gold doesn't get burned up, and therefore the gold remains, and therefore the gold is purer than it was before the intense heat and the test. And so God doesn't shield us from difficulty. He allows us to go through the difficulty so that in the difficulty we can trust him and we can grow. Need I point any further than the children of Israel, who are standing in front of the Red Sea and who have the sea in front of them, mountains on either side, and the entire Egyptian army behind them? The Lord puts us in situations where, in circumstances, where our trust in him can grow. And it says at the end of that story, and they believed the Lord. Because in that situation, they saw what he was able to do. And they saw that he really was able to deliver them and willing to deliver them. And so the end result was that they trusted any more. Did they trust him more than if they had not been through the circumstance? I think so. And we can certainly hope so. Nothing sadder than going through a difficult situation is to not have learned anything from it. But if things are as they're supposed to be, after we come through and the Lord does show his deliverance and the Lord is faithful, then we need to thank him, we need to honor it, and we need to make a note of that one for the next time. And will there be a next time? I can almost guarantee it. And then we can grow some more. Number three, my trust in God is based on who he is, not on what I can do or what I know. In fact, the two are antithetical. So what trusting in God means is, listen to this verse, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In our sinful and fallen nature, which the Bible calls the natural man, we have some things that run very, very deep and that are very counter to trusting God. Even if we say we believe in God, still there are things in our nature that will fight, as long as we're alive, probably, fight trusting God. The two things seem almost opposite, but we actually, they're both obstacles to trusting God, and we fluctuate between the two. Or, in some people, one is dominant, and in other people, the other is dominant. And these, if you want to make a note of this, these are the two big traits in our sinful nature that hinder us, keep us, interfere with us trusting God. One is always expecting the worst. Sorry. Always expecting the worst. Always looking on the negative side. The pessimist type thing, always looking at the bad side and fearing. It's a form of fear. That's one. The other one might seem opposite, but it equally keeps us from trusting God. We want to be independent. We want to be self-reliant. We want to do things our way. And that also will keep us from trusting God. Because trusting God means a lot of things. It doesn't just mean he'll get me through this, he'll deliver me from this, he'll provide. It also means that I trust him to know best. It also means that he must have a purpose and a plan here, even though I may not be able to see it right now. It means a whole lot of things. But it's certainly not based in my own ability or what I can do. In fact, I've got to cast those aside before I can begin to trust in God. Number four, to whatever extent we are trusting in our own ability or knowledge or seeking a human solution, to that degree, we are not trusting in the Lord. Let me read it again. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. So does that mean that I don't take any measures, I don't do anything, I don't use the talents or the knowledge the Lord has given me in a situation? It doesn't mean I never use them. It doesn't mean I never employ them. It doesn't mean I checked my brains at the door. But what it does mean is I'm not relying on it. Do you think David had some swords and some armor? And do you think that his soldiers had some? But he says, where we read today, he says, I do not trust in my bow. My sword does not bring me victory. And so that is the difference. If the Lord says, go here, do this, do that, that's fine. Just as long as he's the one giving the directions and I'm not trying to figure it out on my own. But the minute I start relying in gospel work or in any endeavor in life, I begin relying on my knowledge, my ability, then I've already left the path. I'm already moving the wrong direction. And the Lord may well just allow me to fall flat on my face so I can learn again that my trust and my confidence, because trust is also dependence, that my dependence is on him. And that whatever is done, it's got to be done in reliance on him. So, for trust to be effective in my life as a believer, here are some things that I think it has to be based on Scripture. Number one, total and unquestioning. Trust in the Lord, it says, with what? All your heart. How much? All your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. So my trust in him must be complete and full and without reservation for it to be truly effective. And so that's where the Lord is trying to get us. And it is an issue of the heart. I will never trust in the Lord with my mind, my brain, my logic, my reason. He gave me those and they have their place. But they very often become a stumbling block to trusting God. Trust is an issue of what? The heart. Now, it's based on knowledge. It's based on knowledge that God is faithful, God is true. God is all-powerful and almighty. It's based on certain knowledge. But even though I know that stuff, when I do trust the Lord, I'm not trusting him with my mind or my brain. I'm trusting him with my what? Heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. We never say, well, I don't know if any of you guys do. I love my wife with all my brain. You send her flowers. Honey, I love you with all my brain. No, I love you with all my heart. Trust in the Lord. Listen, heart is another big topic in Proverbs. Oh, it's all over the place. My son, give me thy heart. Listen, if he has my heart, he has all of me. And if he doesn't have my heart, he doesn't have any of me. He may have my church attendance. He may have a whole lot of other things. If he doesn't have my heart, he doesn't have any of me. Trust in the Lord. Unquestioning. Now, does that mean I don't have questions? It doesn't necessarily mean I don't have questions. And questions have their place, but when they start becoming a stumbling block and we start actually questioning, there's a difference between having questions and questioning. And when we actually start questioning, that is an evil heart of unbelief. That is a rebellious heart. That is a heart that is not wanting to come under into submission to or under the authority of the Lord. So that's what I mean by unquestioning. And when the Lord says, go, what do? I go. When he says, do, what do? I do. When he says, say, what do? I say. When he says, stay, what do? I stay. I may not know all the reasons right then. I may not understand it all. But I'm going to do it because I trust him. And believe me, he will make it all plain in time. Number two, for trust to be effective, it must be continual and unfaltering. I don't even like it when the lights blink in my house. Let alone when they go off. You're composing something on the computer and you haven't saved any of it for a few minutes and the power goes out. Huh? Do you like that? What if you had electrical service that only worked, say, 10 minutes on, 10 minutes off? Could you get a lot of work done? You had a power tool, it only worked 10 minutes at a time, then it had to take 10 minutes off. In order for trust to be effective, it's got to be continual, uninterrupted, unfaltering, continual, just like breathing, just continual. Number three, from the heart, not the intellect. We've already covered that. Number four, and this is related to three, and it's in Proverbs there. Undiluted by human reasoning. Because that's what human reasoning will do. And human reasoning will question. And human reasoning will say, I can do this. I don't need the Lord in this one. Or Lord, we might not say it that directly to him, you're wrong. Undiluted by human reasoning. That's why it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. So in this verse, the opposite of trusting the Lord isn't doubting. It's leaning on your own understanding. Because at that point, I'm not relying on him. And if I'm not relying on him, I'm not trusting him. Again, we're not saying that faith is contrary to reason, true reason, as God would say. But human reasoning is very, very faulty. And it will always stand in opposition to trusting God. And if there's an option A and an option B, and option A involves trusting God, and option B proposes a human solution, the fallen human mind will almost always go to B. And then five, characterized, in order for trust to be effective, it needs to be characterized by a continual acknowledgement of the Lord in all things. At each and every step. That's the second part of this. In all your ways, acknowledge him. What does it mean in all your ways? What does that mean? It means in every part and facet of life. The big items and the small items. The high and lofty items and the little daily mundane items. All of them. In all your ways, what? Acknowledge him. And he will what? There's a promise with this one. He will direct your paths. So if I want him to direct me in all my paths, or I want him to make my path straight, then what's my part? To acknowledge him in all my ways. Now that means that I acknowledge him in my decisions. It means that when I have a decision to make, I come to the Lord and I say, Lord, what do you think about this? And the more that it is something that we want for ourselves, no matter what, the harder it is for us to come to the Lord and say, now, Lord, what do you think about this? And some of us are smart enough to not even ask him because we're afraid of what he'll say. But in all your ways, acknowledge him. So it means that the Lord is front and center in my choices and in my decisions. And I'm going to put him first, not myself. I'm going to put his will first, not my own. I'm going to put his desires first, not my own. And so if I'm able to do that and acknowledge him in every facet, which is basically just like saying, like what we talk about, put it all on the altar. Then he's able to direct me in all of my ways. And it's in that continual acknowledgement of the Lord in everything that I think we show that we really do trust him. Because if we don't fully trust him, then at least there's some areas of our life that we're going to want to kind of put over. And I think some of us do this. We say, okay, well, these things belong to the Lord. And these are his areas. And then these areas over here are mine. Nope. That's not the way it works. That's the way a lot of Christians live their lives. But it's not the way it's supposed to work. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And he will direct your path. So, we all, every single one of us, wow. Say, Lord, if I could just trust you all the time in everything. That doesn't mean I have all the answers. It just means I'm trusting the Lord. And it could mean a lot of things. But first of all, I'm trusting the Lord. You know, I'm waiting on him. I'm waiting for him to show me. I'm waiting for him to speak to me. I'm searching his word. I'm in prayer about it. All of these things. I'm trusting the Lord. It doesn't mean I know it all. And this directing of our paths and making our paths straight, I view us as walking along, and we're on this path, and all the path ahead of us is all, even right up to our feet, is all windy and tangled and all that. And as I trust in the Lord and as I acknowledge the Lord, as I move, the path is straightened before me. Not the stuff down the road, but the stuff immediately before me. Now, there are times when I may feel like, Lord, I've trusted you, I've acknowledged you, and my path is still... It didn't say that day, that instant, that moment, did it? In every way, you know, totally eliminate every obstacle or whatever. But it says that he will. But how many can testify today to say, the times I've trusted God, he's faithful? Can you say that? And so, that's it. If we want to see him even more faithful, he's as faithful as he is. He's neither more or less faithful on any given day than he ever was before or ever will be. But he may prove himself more faithful. But so what's the difference? The difference is that trust level, because it allows him to work. May the Lord enable all of us to grow in trust. Shall we pray? Lord, we think of all those saints who have trusted you down through the years. And they have said, my hope and my trust is in the Lord. We think of men like Moses and like Joshua and like David and so many others who were called on to trust you time and time again. And yet every single time you were faithful to him, Lord. I think of the ending words of a song. It says, oh, for grace to trust you more. So, Lord, we thank you for where you've brought us. And we thank you that hopefully today we fear less than we used to. Hopefully today we also consult with you sooner than we used to. Hopefully today we rely on ourselves less than we used to. But Lord, we can all grow in trust. And so, Lord, we just pray you'll start removing the obstacles to trust, whatever those may be. Maybe we have been let down by people around us, people that we looked up to or respected. And because we can't trust people, then somehow we kind of relay that on you too and don't think we can trust you either. Or maybe there was a prayer we prayed a certain way and things didn't turn out exactly the way we thought. And so now we think, well, I don't know if I can trust the Lord or not. But Lord, I just pray you would work in our hearts today and that you would start taking down whatever the remaining hindrances are to a trust that is real, to a trust that is steady and true, that isn't conjured up, that we don't have to strain. Real trust is actually a state of rest. And Lord, to just so fully trust you that we know that until the answer is clear or until it comes, you're going to be there to lead, guide, support, encourage. You're going to deliver what we need right in time, right in the moment, and you're going to get us through. And when we come out on the other side, we're going to be able to say, oh, I'm so glad I trusted the Lord. I'm so glad I didn't do that my own way. I'm so glad I didn't listen to certain advice from other people telling me to do it my way. I thank you, Lord. So just help us to grow in trust, because it's going to be a blessed life. And you're going to work through us in ways that we never imagined as we learn to trust you more and more. It's also a great witness to our faith when the people around us, especially those closest to us, see us trusting you in the most difficult circumstances. But most of all, it honors you when we trust you. And Lord, we do desire to honor you today. So work in our hearts, Lord. Make us those who not only say we trust in you, but for whom trust really is a way of life. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. And we are confident that you who have started a good work in us will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.